right now, we are going to the phone lines where we are joined by Michael Hingson. He's the author of the book Thunder Dog, the true story of a blind man, his guide dog, and the triumph of trust at Ground Zero. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, we're glad to talk with you. And man, what an amazing story this is. You were in one of the towers on 9/11, and we should let folks know you are blind, and you were on, was it the 72nd floor? 78th floor. And you detail how you were able to get down and using your guide dog, and not only you, but leading other people out of there. It is an amazing, amazing tale. First of all, tell us, what was it like to be in the towers on that day?
Well, and of course, Thunder Dog is even more about getting to the tower and growing up as a blind person. Mm-hmm. But, you know, being in the tower on 9/11 was just a kind of a normal experience until, of course, 8:45 when the airplane struck the building. And where we were, none of us knew what had happened. All we knew was the building started to sway. It started to tip over, and then it came back. The plane hit 18 floors above us on the other side of the building, so we didn't hear anything of the plane's approach, of course. All we heard was a muffled explosion, and then the building began to tip. After the building stopped moving, my guide dog, Roselle, who was under the desk, came out from under the desk, and meanwhile, I was standing in the doorway. I grew up in Southern California with a philosophy, building moves, go to doorway, because we were right in the middle of the earthquake world. But, you know, we got out, went down the stairs. We got guests that we had in the offices out first. David Frank, a colleague of mine, got them to the stairs. David was in the office that day from our California office for some of the things that we were going to be doing at seminars. So David got our guests to the stairs, and he came back. We swept the offices, and we left the office and then went to the stairs and started down. We smelled smoke, well, not so much smoke, but fumes that we realized after a couple of floors were burning jet fuel fumes. From that, we figured out an airplane must have hit the building. No one really was giving information all the way down the stairs. Of course, partway down, Tower 2 was struck, but we didn't feel that. We had no idea that that had happened at all.
So you knew pretty much instantly that things were bad and you guys needed to get out of there.
Oh, there's no question about leaving. When a building sort of sways about 20 feet and then comes back, there's no question that something happened. Then David saw fire above us, so there was no question about leaving. But also, the issue was not to leave in a panic. I did all I could, being the Mid-Atlantic Region sales manager running that office, I did all I could to make sure that we were prepared for emergencies. But on that day, of course, how could you ever be prepared? But one of the things that happened, although I didn't realize it at the time, was that my dog was remaining very calm and focused. Mm-hmm. Now, the job of a guide dog isn't to know where to go or how to get there. The job of a guide dog is to make sure that when we walk safe. It's my responsibility to know where to go and to give the dog commands step by step as to where I want her to go. But when the plane hit and then Roselle woke up, she's just wagging her tail and sitting and just being patient, waiting for a command. And as I figured out later, that told me that she wasn't sensing anything above us that made her feel that we had to just run out in panic. And that, in turn, allowed me to get other people focused and get us moving down the stairs in the right way.
Now, how long had Roselle been your guide dog?
Almost 2 years, about 22 months.
And talk about that relationship between a blind person and their guide dog, because I know it's a very special relationship that you develop.
It's the kind of relationship that any really good, close-knit team gets. It's a relationship where we basically read each other. We know each other's thoughts almost. And it's, of course, a different process when you're dealing with a creature that doesn't think the same way you do or speak the same language. But we learn to communicate. We learn to communicate well. so that when we are we're doing whatever we need to do, if she suddenly moves in a way that is unexpected to me, I'm going to follow her. Then, you know, if there's some problem, we'll deal with it later. Like if she's distracted by a duck rather than going where she's supposed to go. But that just doesn't happen very often. That's why the dogs who become guide dogs are chosen. They're chosen not to be distracted, but they're chosen to follow direction. So I didn't, for example, teach Roselle how to go to a particular set of stairs for the very reason that happened at various places in the towers. If the stairs were blocked, then what would I do? You know, it's my job to know where all the stairs are and how to get there, so that if we go to one set of stairs, which did not happen to us, and that stairwell were blocked, then we could go to another set because I could direct her. It's just like you with your eyes and your brain. You know, the only difference is I'm using a guide dog and her eyes and brain and my brain, as opposed to just what you would see. And from that, we're able to function and do the same things that people with eyesight can do. What the book really tries to tell people is eyesight is not the only game in town, and blind people can do a lot more than people think. We can do the same things that anyone else can do. We're just not going to do it the same way. And it's time that people recognize that blindness isn't the handicap. It's the attitudes of society and the attitudes of seeing people, and I use seeing in quotes, that are the real problem for blind people.
Now, have you been blind from birth, or is it something that came onto you later in life?
I've been blind basically since birth. I was born prematurely and given a pure oxygen environment to live on for the first couple of weeks of my life, and that caused the retinas to grow and grow improperly. So I became blind from that, so essentially from birth.
And so now, how was Roselle your first guide dog, or have you had other dogs before?
Roselle was number five. I got my first guide dog back in 1964. So by the time of 9/11, I'd been working with guide dogs for over 37 years.
So you're very familiar with the whole process of that.
Yes.
And now you tell the story in the book, and you kind of flash back and forth between being in the tower and back and forth in your life. And descending the steps was not, it wasn't just like, okay, we got in the stairwell, we all walked down and walked out. You know, a lot of kind of adventures along the way, I know coming to encountering water. And at one point, we were afraid that you were going to, you know, there was a drop off at some point where you were afraid of falling in underneath the towers, or like the subway.
Well, not going down, but after we got down and we got outside, we were right across from Tower 2 when it collapsed. So we were outside by that time. We were about 100 yards away from Tower 2 when it fell.
Okay.
Now, Tower 2 was over 400 yards tall. So everyone, when it began to collapse, everyone ran in panic. I turned and ran just like everyone else did.
Okay.
We all just ran.
And now, what does a guide dog do in that moment? Because obviously you're just running. You don't know. You're just trying to get away from that. How does a guide dog help you in that moment?
Well, and of course, the real point is to try to keep some presence of mind, because we have to work together.
Right.
And I remember thinking as we ran and we turned and we were running away, the first thought I had was, God, I can't believe that you got us out of a burning or falling a tower just to have it fall on us.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I started thinking that, I heard a voice in my head as clearly as you hear me that said, don't worry about what you can't control. Focus on running with Roselle and the rest will take care of itself. And then I just had, you've read about these stories where people have been in these kinds of dangerous situations and they may hear a voice, but then they get a sense of conviction and calm that says, if you do what I tell you, then you're going to be fine. And in this case, it was, if I work with Roselle, we're going to be okay. And we were. You know, it allowed me to then focus and not panic and continue to run down Broadway and then turn right on Fulton Street, catch up to David who had run. And then all of us went together and we ended up in a subway station because we wanted to get out of the dust cloud that had overtaken us. But, you know, it is all about being a team. It's about working together.
You also mentioned, and you talk about at length in your book, your faith and how that sustained you and helped you, not just now, but throughout your life.
Sure.
Share with us a little bit about that.
Well, I believe that it's all about talking with God and even more listening than talking. And I believe that God does exist. I don't believe that God does bad things. I think that what God gave us was free will and the ability to choose. And, of course, on 9/11, some people made choices to attack the towers. And even now with 9/11 or what's occurring with some 60 million people in mm-hmm. this country right now dealing with the storm, we don't have a lot of control right now over the storm happening, but we do have control over how we deal with it. We do have control over whether we're going to be dejected because something happens to our home or we're going to move on in some way. And faith is the strongest thing I know that can keep us going no matter what. So we always have the choice of how we deal with the change, even if we don't have control over the change.
We're talking with Michael Hingson. He's the author of the book Thunderdog, The True Story of a Blind Man, His Guide Dog, and the Triumph of Trust at Ground Zero. Michael, in the time since then, how have you dealt with that issue of being there and being that time? I know people with the post-traumatic stress and things like that. How has God helped you in the aftermath of getting out of that tower?
In our modern world of what we think about the media, I have to say, ironically, the press has probably been one of the best things for me because people got a hold of my story right after 9/11, and we started getting interview requests. And I made the conscious decision to take interviews because if it would help people better understand blindness and blind people and that we're just as normal as everyone else, if it would teach people about guide dogs, and more important, if it would help people move on from 9/11, then we would do interviews. What also started happening is people asked me to come and tell my story. So I actually was invited by the organization where we got Roselle, Guide Dogs for the Blind here in California. I was invited in 2002 to join the organization as a public spokesperson, which I chose to do because even before 9/11, we wanted to move back home to California anyway, where I grew up. So now we're in the northern part of the state instead of the southern part, but we did that. I was a spokesperson for Guide Dogs for 6.5 years. Then with the economy and other things, they phased out that job. So now I own my own company, and I travel around full-time speaking. People ask me to come and speak, hire me to be a speaker. So I'm a worldwide keynote and public speaker. We motivate audiences. I teach them the sort of life lessons, and we talk about the life lessons that I talk about in Thunderdog. And so we do that full time, and I think God has opened up this incredibly interesting and different door. Certainly a much more gratifying kind of way to live than just selling computer products, which are necessary too. But, you know, this is a whole lot more fun, and we get to talk about faith. We get to talk about teamwork and trust and dealing with change and life lessons, and that's what I do. So we do that full time. And, you know, people can go to www.michaelhingson.com. It's MichaelHingson.com and learn about that. And if anyone needs a speaker, then we're ready.
And, Michael, what is the one thing, if you had to say, and since you do, we'll let you say it, what is the one thing you would like folks to know about people who are blind, the one big misconception that you just keep coming into over and over again that you really like people to understand?
Blindness isn't the handicap. Eyesight's the handicap. Thomas Edison invented the electric light bulb so you guys could see in the dark. You have your own disability. It's light dependence. You know, don't limit us just because of your own misconceptions. Blindness isn't really the problem. You know, in this country today, we're trying to repeal a law that allows companies and organizations to pay less than minimum wage to blind and other persons with disabilities. It's still on the books that you can get an exemption so that a company doesn't have to pay a blind person minimum wage. And that's deplorable. Oh, it's all because of the misconceptions of people.
I had never even heard of that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, most people don't know about it. It's used primarily in sort of sheltered workshops and so on. But the bottom line is that there are people in this country who are getting as low as 21 cents an hour to work, and they call it a job. You know, the fact of the matter is that it's time that we move truly into the 21st century, and anyone with a disability, certainly blind people, but all people with disabilities, ought to have truly the same rights as anyone else. There are so many misconceptions that people have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more 76% of all people fear blindness over any other disability, and that's all because of a lack of education. Blindness really isn't the problem.
Michael, we appreciate you joining us. It is a powerful story. It is a fascinating story. It is a moving story, and it's told in Thunderdog, the true story of a blind man, his guide dog, and the triumph of trust at Ground Zero. Michael, thanks so much for joining us again. We really do appreciate your time.
Thanks. It's my pleasure. Glad to be here.
God bless, brother.
God bless.
That is Michael Hingson. Once again, the book is called Thunderdog, the true story of a blind man, his guide dog, and the triumph of trust at Ground Zero. If you want to find out more information about him, once again, his website, www.michaelhingson.com.